When it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's June 28th.
So I just had this realization that I think one of my contacts is in backwards.
Really?
Yeah.
You always do that.
I know, but I'm staring.
The other day you had them backwards, right?
I'm staring at my screen and I'm kind of dizzy and I'm like, why am I so dizzy? Oh my God. One eye is perfect and the other eye is like, or maybe it's like an old contact, like, you know, like the prescription wears out.
Right.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I can't really see through it.
Wow.
I can't even read the screen.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Do you want me to take a quick break so you can go to the bathroom and
I don't have another
it?
Contact.
Oh, no, but don't you have to switch them back and forth? Or you said you put it on backwards or something?
Well, I think actually it's yeah, I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I think I need to change the actual contact.
Oh, I see.
I don't have
okay.
it. Oh, well, you
yeah.
know.
I know, I'm not into contacts anymore. I used to be, but then I hurt my eye one time, so.
Really?
I don't use them anymore. Yeah, it's a long story.
Do you not cut your fingernails?
Oh, come on. It was just that I had a contact that had been sitting around for a while, and I guess when I put it on, maybe it was a little cracked or something, so it scratched my cornea.
Ooh, that's bad.
Yeah, you know, that was like during a wedding and everything. It's like a whole story. My eye really hurt, and... you know, so I had to go in and have them take a look at it and stuff and give me all kinds of drops. But ever since then, I thought, I'm not putting anything in my eyes anymore. But you know what? I'm so tired of the friggin' glasses that I'm going to have to do that. Because I have three pairs of glasses, you know, one for far, one for medium, one for reading, you know.
Really?
I mean, what the
hell is that? Because you're nearsighted and farsighted?
No, it's just that you get different, like, to sit in front of the computer, you need a different prescription than if you are driving.
Okay,
really?
I definitely don't need that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's one for everything.
All right.
Or one total.
Okay, you just wait till you get older. We'll see.
I think you're like, but it's interesting because like some guys that I've known more and more recently are nearsighted and farsighted, and I never thought you could be both.
Mm.
But I put on like their glasses, and I was like, whoa, mother in hell, what the hell's going on? This is really weird. Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah, I know. I think it's time for me to get LASIK or something, you know, the surgery.
Yeah.
Everybody swears by it, you know. So.
Everybody does. I wish I could do it. I just can't, but it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, well.
I don't know. I used to be afraid of it because, you know, I mean, you don't know what they could do to your eyes. You don't want to go blind or something. But now it's been around for like over 20 years, I think. So.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, everybody does it. Seems fine, you know.
Well, see, I mean, I was scared of it a long time ago. And then I thought there's this time when I was younger where I used to get needles in my eye, like actual needles. You're awake. And the needle goes in your eye and you're like watching it go in. And you just
what?
Sit there. Yeah, because I had Lyme. So like when I was younger, we didn't know it was Lyme. And they just like injected the steroid right in my eye.
Wow.
Yeah, because I had like crazy eye issues. So they would just inject it, and it's like they would like, yeah, it was awful.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I went to Hopkins, so it was good peeps, but I mean, it sucked ball sack. Like, that was the scariest thing ever because you can't move. Like, you see a needle going into your eye. It's awesome.
Oh my God.
And you can't
barely
feel it
put a contact in there.
It's numb, like they numb it.
Right.
With another needle.
Right. No, they numb it with drops. They numb eyes with drops.
Yeah, you can still feel it through that.
Really?
Mm.
Oh,
it's okay. It's fine. It worked. It was worth the pain.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's why I'm like, whatever. But I'd love to do laser. I just can't.
Yeah.
Do that. But oh well.
Mm.
Anyways.
Okay. Well, sounds good. So we're going to be on vacation next week.
Yes.
So everybody knows. And, well, it is the 4th of July during
the
week, right?
It's 4th of July, yeah.
It's very unusual for it to fall during the week.
The freaking week.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you might as well make a holiday out of it.
Well, because the thing is, like, people are like, do we celebrate the weekend before or the weekend after?
Right.
And everyone I know is like, I'm going to celebrate the whole week. But it's usually the weekend. Like, everyone right now, I think, is doing the week after.
Okay.
So, but they're just going, like, wherever ahead of time. Because it's like, you know, travel sucks. Yeah. So now that's a Wednesday. You got to leave on like a Monday or Tuesday to avoid. Well, you're not really avoiding any traffic because you're going to hit it anyway.
Yeah. So, no matter what you do.
Yeah. You know what I want to do is buy fireworks somewhere soon so I can light my own off.
Yeah. Those are fun.
Those are really fun. We did it last year. We lit our own off.
Yeah. Where can you find any?
Well, I don't know. I used to go to Mexico and get them. Or Utah on the way back.
That's definitely worth a trip.
Like, that's what the Mormons are known for. I'm kidding. Like, when you're in Utah, you go for Sundance, and then you buy a shit ton of fireworks, and then it's amazing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think in Nevada, too, but I don't remember. Yeah. I think I have, like, a couple left.
Yeah. No, it's illegal here for sure, you know. I remember they used to have those booths and stuff, and they would sell them there.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago.
See, when I grew up in Maryland, like, you can't get fireworks anymore. They're so strict on everything. They suck. So we would go, my dad would drive us down to South Carolina, and there was this place called South of the Border, and it's, like, where you buy fireworks. So we would literally just drive there, like, a nine-hour drive just to get a bunch of fireworks and drive right back. And he would pack up the car with so much shit, and he would be like, this is going to be good, and this would be great. My mom would be like, you guys are freaking retarded.
Yeah.
But then we came back, and we would light him off every year until he lit my neighbor's roof on fire.
Really?
It was really funny.
I'm sure it wasn't funny for them.
I was laughing because I'm always in trouble for, like, doing stuff. Yeah. And, like, this one time, it was my dad and, like, the neighbor. Like, there was, like, their family, so it was, like, my dad and their dad. Mm-hmm. And they did it together. And there's this thing called jumping jacks, which are, like, amazing. They're, like, I think they're, like, banned everywhere now because of how dangerous they are. Because they literally just fly all over the place. So they lit them, and we were in the court. Uh-huh. And, like, it jumped onto, like, the roof of the house and then the deck, and it burned a hole in the roof, and then it lit the deck, like, it. And then it flew in the woods and lit their treehouse and a couple. It, like, destroyed so much.
So what is, like a ball that bounces back and forth,
yeah.
Huh?
And I just sat there and watched it.
That,
like,
would be dangerous.
It was really cool. But I remember watching it, and I'm like, oh, that's bad. My brother and I are laughing because we're like,
let's burn up the fucking neighborhood.
This is so awesome that we're not in trouble this time. And that dad actually did it. It's kind of funny. And he's like, shut the hell up, whatever. Yeah. I'm paying for it. I don't care. And, like, yeah, it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. Well, so I'm sure we're going to have vacation stories after we get back.
I'm sure. Did you ever make bottle rockets?
No. What are those?
Fun.
Really?
I don't really remember all the chemicals you put in there because that's something else.
Out of a glass bottle?
We made all kinds of
plastic bottles.
I don't remember. Wow. I just remember pouring them. I mean, I was young, and my dad was like, let's go blow up trash cans. And so we did.
Like, no wonder you're like, the way you are.
That's the thing. He can be such a jerk, but when he, like, gets this idea, he's like, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, so we were never in trouble if he was there.
Yeah.
But yeah, we exploded a few trash cans. I think it was like it was common household products too. It was like baking soda and like,
yeah,
I can't remember.
You mix those things together and explodes.
It was
and expands,
like,
and,
yeah, stuff that was under the sink. And he's like, don't you ever do this without me. You'll blow your finger off. I'm like, okay. I think they were glass because I remember they used to, like, explode.
Oh,
and it was like,
God,
these huge noises.
Oh,
we were like, this is awesome.
It's like a fucking bomb.
It's trash
can. What the fuck
kind
of things you guys do?
This is what you do in the middle of nowhere because there's nothing else to do except do shit like this. That's how I grew up. Nothing to do.
Wow, man.
Let's make shit blow up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I just want to bring this up. This was quiet. I guess Germany has outlawed circumcision.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
And because they're saying it's barbaric type of a thing, you know. And they're saying I guess they're charging doctors and stuff with committing bodily injury.
Okay, see, got to keep going.
Yeah.
I'll make my comment after.
The body of a child is irreparably and permanently changed by circumcision. This change contravenes the interest of the child to decide later on his religious beliefs.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that's bullshit because, well, several things. One, I don't mind if it's not circumcised.
Yeah,
that shit feels
you
good.
Like it.
That feels good. But if otherwise, though, it causes a lot of bacteria when they're a kid. Like, they don't know. They have to clean it.
Oh.
Like, it's I mean, that's gross.
Yeah.
What do you guys call it? There's a Jewish
Smagma
name.
Smagma.
Like, what's the Jewish
name? Is that a Jewish name?
Schmegma.
It can't be a Jewish name.
It's a Jewish name.
Because the Jewish dicks are not like that.
I know, but I remember people my Jewish friends call it shmegma. They're like, people do that. That's shmegma is there. It's disgusting. Like, it all, especially when you're a child. Like, you don't know. Like, you're playing around. You're all sweaty. You're in dirt. You're whatever. And you got to come home and clean your shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I guess the mother would do that, but then, that's weird.
Okay, what's the other reason?
I don't know where I was going. I have a weird visual in my head now, and that's just disgusting.
Yeah. But, you know, but I mean, obviously, it's usually like a religious type of a thing, you know, and people believe in that.
Right, also a sanitary thing.
Yeah, it is, you know. And
in the U.S., it's like, you know, a lot of people do it because of sanitary reasons.
Yeah, you know, so religious reasons, usually Jews and Muslims do that, but many people now, I think the majority of the people circumcise their babies.
But here's the thing. I don't think what pisses me off is a government or a higher force telling me what I can do with my child or
right.
not. Yeah. If it's my kid, I'm going to do what I want, what I think is better for the child.
Right.
Who the hell are you to tell me what to do? Mm-mm.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I think that's bullshit. There's too much government. Too much. Ugh.
It is. It is, you know, and but you can see it happens in other countries as well, you know.
Yeah, but it's Germany. Go figure. Like, I'm surprised there. Enough said.
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself in trouble. Yes, that's true. I'm going to get myself in trouble. And it's already way early in the morning.
Yeah.
I haven't even had my coffee yet.
All right. Well, we have a special guest in the studio, Brigetta's friend. Why don't you go ahead and introduce her to us?
Sure. We have very hot. She knows she is.
Very awake.
Very awake. Has had her coffee. We have Christina Dam in studio, and she's amazing. She's got a store called Liberate Emporium. She is, I don't know if we call it certified or whatever, but she teaches NLP, you can explain that, and hypnotherapy, and she's a healer and all kinds of things, but she has a contest that she needs everyone's help with, but we're just going to let her
let's find out about it. Welcome to the show, Christina. Okay, you want to get
hi?
Closer, and you don't want to nod your head because nobody can see it.
No, I didn't know what you wanted me to talk about.
Doesn't matter.
So welcome, everyone.
Yeah, well, you welcome to the show.
Yeah, but they're welcoming me listening, right?
Yeah, that's true. So tell us a little bit about what it is you're involved with.
Okay, so I have a healing center named Liberate Emporium. It's in Los Feliz, and... Mm-hmm. Right now we're trying to work on getting a grant to expand into a bigger location. And so there's a little contest going on with Chase and Living Social. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to get as many votes as possible. And if anybody, I mean, I'm going to talk about what it is that we do there, probably mm-hmm. want to know before mm-hmm. you just go on and vote. But, you know, it's this website is missionsmallbusiness.com. And... Mm-hmm. You go on there and you can find a whole bunch of different cool businesses, so you're not limited to just vote for me, but voting for me will help.
Right, yeah.
Well, you're voting for her, people, because she's on our show, and therefore if you don't...
Yeah, we're going to kick your ass.
I will cut you. I don't know how, but I'll figure a way.
So this is a contest now. Is there a lot of entrants for this contest and stuff?
Well, it's... It's through the whole United States.
Oh, it is. Okay, so it's not just local.
Yeah, it's not just local, right. But I don't think there's too many within Los Angeles. They're giving away 12 $250,000 grants to businesses.
Wow.
Yeah, and you have to get a minimum of 250 votes to qualify. Mm. And then they go and they look at, you know, your business plan and everything else like that. But my goal is to get way more than 250 votes. So I'm like one of the ones really
looked
at. So
you can stand out.
Yeah.
Wow, sounds good. So now what... So this gives you like a grant so you can expand your business?
Yeah, so it's a grant instead of a loan.
Right.
So you can take that and I don't have to have that whole weight over my shoulders of paying back $250,000. I can just expand freely and comfortably.
Right. Wow. Yeah, it's like winning the lottery.
It is.
You know?
It really is.
Except that you have to use it for your business.
Yeah. There's that catch. But I mean, my business is my life. You know, I love helping people and being of service. And that's what it is. It's a community-based business. And so it's a healing center with alternative healing modalities. So we have hypnotherapy, we have energy healing, we have astrology, we have intuitive readers, Ayurvedic healing.
Wow, so it's like a department store
for
spirituality.
It It is a department store for your mind, body, and soul.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's cool. So this is yours? You opened it yourself?
Yeah, I opened it about 2 years ago. I have been doing hypnotherapy. Virginia mentioned NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. It's all about how your language controls and alters the way that you perceive and behave in the world. In essence, it's a study of personal excellence.
So you can talk anyone into anything, and they don't realize they're being talked into it.
Okay, yeah. there's a couple guys out there that...
I'd be really good at this.
No, there's a guy that wrote a book about how to get any woman.
Yes.
It's like this little black book thing. Ross Jeffries. He goes on speaking tours and stuff, but he's convinced that he takes NLP and he gets people into that. We don't do that, but I mean, you could really do it. All politicians study, you know, the art of language and manipulation in a way, right?
Wow.
Kind of so.
Yeah. So how did you get involved in NLP?
Well,
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins, he's one of the bigger NLP people. Yeah. No, I mean, it was just a path of, you know, following one thing after the next. So I was studying regular psychotherapy, and then I got involved in hypnotherapy because I liked dealing with the unconscious mind.
Yeah.
And that is an experience. If you haven't had hypnosis done, relaxation, peace, and ease. I mean, it's better than a massage, and you rework your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's like you do two things in one. You know, you get relaxed, you de-stress yourself, but you also get reprogrammed.
Right.
You know? So have you ever had hypnosis done?
Yeah, I have it. I've had it once, or was it once or twice? I don't know. I think once.
Okay.
And yeah, it does feel very peaceful. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you're aware that something's going on. You're a little awake.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, you don't really care, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly what, if you see, like, the stage shows or something, and they're like, you're a dog, bark, and the person's like, ruff, 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 right. You know, like, why would you do that? Because you're not really functioning, you're not really aware.
Like, I've seen some really great ones that way. Uh-huh. There was a crazy magician / hypnotherapist, I can't remember who it was, but there was an event a couple years ago, and I was blown away. They hypnotized the entire audience, although I didn't get hypnotized, but the whole entire audience was like, and I'm looking around like, why didn't I not get hypnotized? What's going on? I don't know why I didn't. But everyone was, and they had them doing all kinds of stuff, and it was really funny to watch. They were videotaping it, too, if she could, like, play back and see that everyone was, but I'm looking around like, why am I not? But it was actually really cool, and people were barking like dogs on the stage and doing all kinds of weird stuff, and I'm like, this is really happening.
And no, and you can give people orgasms and different... I mean, you
see,
can
that would be
a whole bunch of things.
That
that
would be interesting.
You got to think your mind controls, you know, everything about you, and so if you can get in there and you can rework your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, go back to, like, who was it that ran under the 4-minute mile? Roger Bannister.
I don't know.
I think that's his name.
So he was hypnotized into that.
No. But it's the power of your mind.
Oh, okay.
The power of your mind over
mean.
Things.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
So if you can get in there and you can change your belief systems or the way that you see the world, you can really achieve whatever goals that you want to do.
Right.
In the life that you want to live.
Yeah. Well, so, that sounds. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I don't understand how you can make someone orgasm under being hypnotized.
Well, especially for women, it's mostly mental, right?
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
But, I mean, you can go in there and you can mimic any kind of feelings and associations, you know? So you can mimic people to all of a sudden laugh uncontrollably, to bark like a dog, or to, you know, have a release.
Right.
It's all possible. You know, all seriousness, I see a lot of different clients with sexual problems, whether their inability to ever have an orgasm, whether it's, you know, premature ejaculation, different things like that. But you can work on controlling it under hypnosis.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't numerous women that, for whatever reason, have never been able to orgasm while they have sex with their partner, and you can work on doing that. But part of that is sometimes, you know...
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But your mind controls everything.
That's true, yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. So, well, let's go back a little bit, and then we'll figure out how you got into all this and everything. But are you originally from here, from L.A.?
No, I'm originally from Wisconsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Can you tell from the accent a little bit?
No, I didn't really notice.
It's starting to fade away, but anytime I talk to, like, my mom or anything back home, then I'm like, oh, yeah, there, don't you know, Bobby?
No, but I didn't pick it up, and usually I do, because I used to date a woman from Wisconsin a long time ago. We're still friends. And I remember going there once for a wedding, and it was summer. And it was so friggin' hot and humid, I thought I was gonna die.
Oh my God.
So I'm like in a house with no air conditioning, putting on a suit.
Oh wow.
And I thought I was gonna die. So I remember running out of the house, just outside, just to breathe, you know. But there was no relief outside either.
That's the thing. I mean, yeah, you have the beautiful changes of four seasons, but other than that, you have the cold.
Yeah,
winter.
Like extreme cold.
You have really rainy springtime. Mm-hmm. And the fall's the only savior, you know, and then it's bonfires outside. But in the summer, it's hot and humid, and there's so many mosquitoes. You walk outside, and you just have welts all over.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Similar to where I grew up, too. Yeah. Oh, it sucks.
So where in Wisconsin?
A city called Kenosha. Where was your girlfriend from?
Germantown, I guess. Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Okay, yeah, so Kenosha's right, but two cities below.
Yeah, I've
Milwaukee.
Heard of Kenosha. Yeah. Wow, it's pretty cool. So, so you grew up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And was it like a small town or is it like a city?
It's a medium-sized town,
right.
Population of about 100,000. It was a faster growing town because it's the southeastmost city of Wisconsin, and a lot of people, Wisconsin had lower property taxes than Illinois, so a lot of people that worked
down.
In Chicago would commute, and they started buying property in Kenosha because they'll commute the hour into Chicago, and they'd save, you know, thousands of dollars a year buying cheaper property.
Right.
So then it started booming.
Uh-huh. Wow, that's pretty cool. So now, at what point did you decide you're going to leave home and go somewhere else?
The moment I could. No, like, I grew up in, like, more of, like, a lower, more middle class, you know, and we didn't get to go on vacations or do much, and I always dreamed of palm trees, but I never got to do it. So I just had this notion that as soon as I could, I was going to be out of there. So I finished high school at 17. I finished early, and I left. And I went to school and started out at Cal State over here.
Oh, so you came here because of the palm trees?
Literally because of the palm trees. I used to wear a palm tree around my neck on my necklace, and I dreamed of being on the beach underneath palm trees. And that was seriously the reason and the motivation that pulled me out here. But then, you know, coming out here at 17 and hard to find, you know, and I was paying for everything myself.
Yeah.
It was a little hard on me. So I ended up actually moving back to Wisconsin and finishing school there and then moving back out here.
I see. Okay. So now but you felt you had to get out, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
So did you consider other places, or was California the first, the only place?
California was the only place, except for a moment before I moved back to Wisconsin. I moved to Florida and tried it out. It's just as humid. I lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I would, like, get out of the shower and I dry myself off and I'd be wet again.
Yeah. Sticky. I know, it's terrible.
Welcome to Florida.
Yeah.
And it rained every day at like 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And there was even lanes off of the street that you could pull over to because the rain was so hard.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It went downpour right on the Gulf there.
Wow. So at 17 you just got up and left and moved to California, huh?
Yeah.
By yourself?
By myself.
Wow. Were you always, like, pretty independent and stuff, even when you were younger?
Very independent, because I'm the youngest of six girls.
Oh,
and,
really?
And just, you know.
Six girls,
yeah.
My God.
So my parents were done, you know, and they had me when they're just about 40. Mm. So they had five girls before me, and then it was me.
Right.
And so they were like, okay, we're kind of done raising you. So I raised myself.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, my older sisters, you know, would pitch in or help or me with things here and there, but I needed to know that I could do whatever I wanted to do. And I'm so grateful for it, though, because the independence and starting my own business, and I graduated a four-year university in 2.5 years.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was one of the youngest people and quickest people to do that.
Right. You and know? He finished high school at 17. You must be smart, huh?
And she's like, yeah. I'm...
Yeah. She's modest, but yeah, fucking smart. So, no, I mean, how do you finish college in 2.5 years? Do you take less classes?
No.
Just more accelerated, right?
Well, yeah, that's it. I would sometimes take 20, 22 units. A semester, and I would take summer school, and when the winter quarters would happen, I would take classes during that time, too, and I was just motivated.
What was the
rush? I worked two jobs, too.
Really?
Yeah, because I paid for it all myself.
Right.
And so, I mean, I know that if you really want to do something, you can make it happen. I mean, I worked a full-time job, a part-time job, and I went to school more than full-time and had a social life.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, so people can do it. These people that say that they need to take 6 years to graduate, I'm like, you know, if you really want something, you can go after it.
Absolutely. I mean, I never heard of anything like that. You know, I mean, 22, 23 units, two jobs.
I never saw her.
Wow.
When she first moved, when we met, she was working so much. It was insane. I mean, I feel like you even had more jobs than two jobs at that point.
No, well, this was an undergrad. This was back in Wisconsin.
Oh.
So, but yeah.
This isn't even, no, okay. She came here and went to school, and then she worked a couple jobs.
That was grad school. I was working and going to grad school full time.
Yeah.
But no, I was just motivated, and I was like, I needed to get, I just felt that there was so much to do and see and learn and discover that I needed to get out living my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, the cliche thing, the big fish in the small pond, that's literally what I felt like. Mm. And so I used it as motivation.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wasn't deprived. I mean, I went out, I partied, I had fun. I was, you know, really social. I had a fake ID at 16.
Really?
You know? I used to make fake IDs and sell them at school.
Wow. You became a pro at it. Huh?
Yeah. It was a good third job, right?
Wow. How did you do that? I mean, did you?
Well, that was before they had all of this, like, technology with the raised signatures and everything. So you could just, like, you could take an X-Acto knife and you could scrape away the number, you know?
And then
you could just put a really fine Sharpie.
And
type,
you change the number.
And you change the number. And
really?
They don't notice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or they didn't back then.
They didn't. And I remember, too, because, like, I don't know if you guys were red. Ours was, like, it was red, like, the dates. So we had to, like, use a certain red marker to change it. And, yeah, it was pretty good. Then we even tried to make holograms. That was a whole nother thing.
There's nothing she hasn't been into, I'm telling you.
I know. Nothing surprises me. Brigetta can say anything in the world, and then I'll be like, yeah.
Yeah. Not shocking. So you went where to Cal State Northridge?
I went to Cal State LA, but then I went to University of Wisconsin, and then I went back to Cal State.
Right. So you went here for what, a year or two?
For 1 year, 3 quarters, mm-hmm. or 2 quarters, I forget, it was so long ago. But then I went back and I finished up there.
Now, why did you move back?
Out-of-state tuition was ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know, California has, I think still to date, the cheapest in-state tuition. But out-of-state tuition is,
can kill you, right?
Oh, wow. My God. Yeah. You're paying like $20,000 a quarter, like for a public school. You know, it's
right.
just ridiculous. So it wasn't worth it for me.
For a quarter?
No, for a whole year. I think it was for the whole year. But, I mean, it's something like almost 10 times. I don't remember what it is exactly.
Yeah, it's like, I remember when I went to school, it was like, and I went to Pierce College when I was out of town. You're talking maybe 25 years ago, and a unit was like $100 and something for out of state.
Uh-huh.
So I would imagine now it's like a lot of money, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty much like grad school tuition for, and it's just like if you're doing it yourself, it's just not worth it. And, you know, the undergrad education, I mean, it's the foundation, but they really, you know,
it's not
if
as
you're
important
gonna keep
anymore.
On going,
right.
then it doesn't, you know.
Yeah. So you went back to, what, the University of Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty good school, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's good. And then, you know, it allowed me to be back and just get done as quick as possible and leave again.
Right. So now, what did you take in school?
Psychology.
Psychology.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. That's interesting, huh? So now you took, so you graduated in psychology. Did you go on for
grad school? For psychology.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
And then to study addiction treatment specialist, to go on and learn about addiction and people's behaviors.
And that's when I never saw her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I disappeared.
Yes, pretty much.
So now, what appealed to you in working with addictions and things like that? Had you experienced it in your life before?
Yeah, I mean, I used to party a lot. And so a lot of my friends, either they party too much and they had problems, or, you know, I felt myself pulled into that way, too. And so, I mean, you know, a lot of times people study things because they're trying to find out about themselves. I mean, that's anything,
right?
You know, but also feeling the need to help. You know, I've seen that a lot of people's motivation and drive in life was decreased because they would drink all the time, or they would do drugs, or they had all these visions, and then I seen them all crumble away.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, I wanted to understand how to help those people, or how to get people that they, you know, get kids to not utilize so many drugs. So I created a prevention program too.
Oh, really?
I had it at the inner city of Los Angeles as a trial program for 2 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's a good soul, you know? We need more people like this in the world, you know? That want to help other people and stuff, you know? Rather than just want to become a movie star, you know?
Hey!
Not you!
Hey!
Not you!
And I help a ton of people. I don't want to hear that.
No, you do. I'm not talking about you. I didn't have you in mind when I said this, okay? So relax. I wouldn't insult you like that.
Well, okay.
I mean, no, you do a lot of things, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's not like you sit back and wait for someone to discover you. So it's different, you know?
Yeah, and she does help a lot, too. I mean,
she does. She really
does.
Like,
when I need things, you know, she's right there. And even in her busy schedule, she's like one
charities.
Of the only people that come and help me move.
Really?
And I mean, like, you know, most people try to hide when people are moving, right?
Yeah, it's true. Don't ask me for any help. Wow. So, now, so you went to grad school where? In Wisconsin, too?
No, out here.
Oh, out here?
Yeah.
What school did you go to?
Cal State, LA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. So, wow, that's a lot of schooling, you know? Did you always like school, or did you just do it because you felt it would help?
I like the process of learning, you know? So whatever that is in a classroom type setting, or just learning from other individuals, I mean, it's feels like I'm growing.
Right.
You know?
No, absolutely. I mean, I love studying, you know, and things like that. Now I don't have the time, but I went back to college at the age of 27, I think, to finish an undergrad, but it was, you know, but I think it's better when you go back to school when you're a little older. I mean, not in your case, because you were obviously pretty mature. You knew what you wanted and you were doing well in school. But for me, that, you know, just kind of like goofed around and stuff in school.
That was me.
Yeah. Then, you know, I was able to approach college like a business, you know, when I was older. So I thought, okay, I want to go for an MBA at UCLA, and what I need is a high GPA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. I just studied. I did whatever it took. And I graduated with honors. You know, never mind that I never went on to UCLA because I started my own business at the time.
Yeah.
Doing computer animation and stuff. But at the same time, when I put my mind to it, and when you're a little more mature about it, you know, then you approach it differently, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't think kids should go to college directly out of high school.
No, I agree 100%.
You know, because they rebel still, you know?
In Australia, it's I traveled, I backpacked through Europe for 2 months.
Really?
And because I wanted to explore and just see how, you know, everything was. Uh-huh. And I came across a lot of Australian and New Zealand travelers backpacking too. And it's common practice that they take a year to 2 years off between high school and college, and it's their world experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for their graduation present from high school and stuff, people pitch in money so they can have money so they can backpack and they can travel Asia or Europe or go to America or do things.
Yeah.
And that they're not supposed to. like in their culture, it's like they don't go to school right away.
Right away.
For exactly that reason. And I mean, if I think back, I mean, I was motivated and driven to get through. Mm. But when I went back and I was really wanting to study the things that I was studying, totally different approach.
Really?
And that's like you know, going in. You see so many people with just now their iPads or their laptops up or their cell phones, and they're not even listening to the lectures. They're just making it by, you know, they're there just doing the routine. But I mean, if you really want it, you're going to get so much more out of the experience.
Absolutely. You know, you want to be there because you want to be there, you know, and that's why I think in college it's more conducive to learning, you know, and people do better there because they want to be there, you know, for the most part.
Yeah.
And
when you have people that are going a little bit older,
right?
I think that if they're going at 18, 19 years old, they're just going because they're supposed to.
Exactly.
I mean, they're supposed to.
Yeah, that's how I was. Or it's like, oh, all my friends are going, so now I want to be with them.
Yeah.
You know, and that didn't.
I know. And then, you know, and then like my son, he's 19 and he went first year in college, and I guess he sort of got there late. There weren't that many classes left. So suddenly he's in a fucking ceramics class. You know? What the fuck kind of college is that?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But I guess he needed an elective, you know, some art thing. So he figured, what the hell, I'll take it. But yeah, I don't think he's ready for college yet. He should probably take a year or two off. And I know, in Israel, for example, what happens right after high school, they draft you to the army. So you don't go, even if you wanted to, you don't go to college before 21. So, but usually the way it works is they go to the army for 3 years at 18 until 21. Then they backpack, usually in Asia, South America, things like that. And then they go back and they start their career, you know, their schooling and things like that.
I do have to say, as you know, that's actually not, I admire that in a way, as I think, like, also UK does that, and a couple other countries over there. And I think it's kind of cool in a way where you come out of high school and, like, all of a sudden you're grown up and forced into, like, this military atmosphere or whatever. You learn so much more.
Yeah.
I see both sides, but in a way, I think that's awesome, and maybe we should do that here.
Yeah. It depends, you know. I mean, the thing is that...
I'm not saying you have to go out for front line.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, you go through the training because it actually makes you more of a man, or as a woman, more of like... is this just men or just women too?
Women too, but they don't... Women go for 2 years.
Yeah. But the world experience that you get, and I mean, there's something about... I forget where the statistic was, but it's like less than 5% of our American population ever goes to a different country.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Less than 5% of Americans go to a different country. I mean, if I'm wrong on that statistic, it's something around there.
Right.
You know, and yes, you have people in the bigger cities that travel outside of the country a lot, but think of all of Middle America.
Right.
Or other places that hardly even go out of their state.
That's true.
You know,
yeah.
And so, I mean, when you really think about it in that thing, that will resonate.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. But I also think it's like, it's not a requirement here because this country is so huge, you know, that you can enjoy it without going into to other countries. But, and some people just don't have, you know, the means to go. But at the same time, I agree with you. I think it's very important to travel, to see how other people live and so forth, you know, to become more tolerant of people.
I wish we had more of an exchange program.
Yeah.
I wish that was, like, forced upon, you know?
Yeah, something for the experience and knowing how other people live besides you, because, I mean, life is about experience.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and you're making the most out of it. Yeah, a lot like Brigetta, you know. I mean, she doesn't waste any time. She does she does something every minute of every day.
Except when I try to get her up in the morning to go to the gym, and she's like, ah, rah, rah, rah.
But she goes. She goes, right? That's funny. So you guys work out together sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sometimes.
How long ago did you meet?
Oh, gosh. That's an interesting story.
Is it?
We met 2007?
No, earlier than that. Maybe 6.
No, because it was after Project My World. So
okay.
I'm pretty sure it was 2007. Yeah, so 5 years ago.
Five.
On a Vegas trip.
Really?
On a bus.
Wow. On a bus, you guys friended each other.
Oh, yeah.
I think we did more than that.
cheat.
Are you serious? Okay, now let's let's go to the beginning.
So Christina has
don't put her on the spot.
Can I not say it?
I used to
have this thing where if somebody was straight, she's like, I can turn them. Oh, I can turn them.
Oh, okay. So, well, we didn't know this. So you're a lesbian. Okay, now we understand. All right. So you felt, okay, now that makes sense. So you felt if you met a straight woman, you could turn her.
She did feel that way.
You know, now...
Yeah.
Bridgetta was straight. Now she's bi.
Right.
So
that's true.
I did something
that's thanks to you, right?
Jesus.
Oh my God. So how did it happen on the bus? What happened?
Well,
it didn't happen on the bus. It happened after. We made friends on the bus.
No, you made friends on the bus.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
And then we went out one night. Like a bunch of us all went out. And the next thing I knew.
As friends. So did you know she was gay in the beginning?
Next thing I knew, my dress was over my head.
Really?
I was just. Kicking back.
I mean, did you feel her out at all? I mean, did you know if she would go along with this or not?
She's really embarrassed right now.
Oh man. Well,
what?
You know,
this was 5 years ago.
Yeah,
so this is,
this was 5 years ago.
So
I thought that she was the most attractive person that we were hanging out with, and
So you had the hots for her and stuff.
That time. And so, you know, one thing led to another, and she was back in my hotel room.
Yeah. So you were, like, obviously taking the initiative and everything, right?
Yeah.
And I can't see anybody taking the initiative with Bridgetta.
Not many do.
I think she's always in charge there.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Wow. So was that your first time with a woman, Bridgetta?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I mean,
so
in that way.
So she wasn't that straight.
No, it was her first time with a one-on-one woman.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
When you're kids, you play around, but that doesn't mean anything. You don't know what the hell you're doing. That was like the first,
Wow. So you ended up in a hotel room where, in Vegas?
Yeah.
Really?
What happens in Vegas?
Yeah.
I mean.
Wow.
But it didn't stay in Vegas. It came home.
Yeah.
No. God. Yes, it did.
So how was Bridgetta? Was she pretty good?
What the fuck? Oh my God. I was a newbie to all
this,
inquiring
minds want to know.
Yeah, well, I was a newbie at all this, so that's not fair.
I know. Well, you know. So you'd never performed cunnilingus before that?
No, Sam, I hadn't.
Well, we need to clarify that.
We did go and get a lot of toys.
Really? Yeah, there's a lot of toy stores in Vegas. That's true.
No,
so
you're in L.A.
Oh, in L.A. Okay. Yeah, I would imagine you didn't go. She didn't tell you, let's go get toys first, and then I'll seduce your ass. Wow, that's interesting. That's a lot of fun. So now, so you discovered it early on that you were a lesbian, that you liked girls?
No, I had no idea. You know, I dated men throughout high school and even undergrad. And,
really?
And I just never really connected, you know? And so it was never any serious relationships. And I wondered why I didn't really care, you know?
Wow.
And there was no, like force or drive to be like, oh, God, I want to be with this person, you know?
Right.
But it would just kind of, okay, whatever, we're dating, you know?
Right.
And then I fell in love with my best friend.
Wow.
And I didn't know what the heck was happening.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I think I like women.
But your best friend too. Wow. That's Well, it's probably because you got to know her and everything.
Yeah, in the trust or whatever, and I realized that the feelings were stronger than just friendship feelings.
Wow.
You know.
So did you tell her?
Yeah. And And so that was kind of the catalyst towards, you know, opening up and kind of exploring. And then for a few years, which I think most people do, is that you claim that you're bi.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then I'm open to whatever. And then at some point I was like, well, you know, yes, men can be pleasurable and all of that, but my preference is with women.
Right.
You know, and if I fell in love with a man, I mean, I'm not going to hold myself like, okay, I'm only with women. But as of right now in my life, that's my preference.
I see. Now, so how did your friend react to that? I mean, was she like blown away?
Well,
she was straight, right?
Well, she was straight in a relationship. Uh-huh. So let's just leave it at that. No, but I mean, she had a connection too. And so it was just really confusing for both of us at
right.
that point.
Really? So did you guys act on this at all? Or
A little bit, but more like I was scared at that point, you know, like I didn't know, you know, and I needed time to think and process. And that's right. actually when I went to Europe for 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So and when did your when did your first encounter happen? It wasn't with your girlfriend, right?
Well, I mean, like when I had partied prior, like, you know, I had made out with girls and things like that, you know,
okay.
but that's kind of normal nowadays, you know,
but pretty much.
I don't see it happening, but if you're saying it is, then it is, you know. I guess people don't do it on the street and stuff.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's more acceptable, you know. I mean, you have songs that hit like the number one charts that are like, I kissed a girl, you know, and different things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, everybody loves lesbians, you know, because for men, it goes without saying. And, you know, women, I guess maybe there's a little bit of lesbian in every woman. Who knows?
That's what I have a friend that says. I have a friend that says takes two martinis
to become a lesbian.
Yeah, for a lesbian encounter.
Oh, I see.
That's what he says.
Well, I think it's more acceptable for women. You
right.
know, like, because guys find it attractive, girls are turned on by it. So, I mean, I think that the freedom is
right.
a little bit more there for
yeah.
women.
And it's easier to look at two women together than two guys together. You know, I don't know why it is, but, you know, maybe because we're just not trained for it, you know,
as
a straight man. Yeah.
And that might be all that it is. I mean, I think that, you know, let's be honest, that men can get pleasure from men, women can get pleasure from women, women can get pleasure from men can get pleasure from women.
Right.
So, I mean, if you look on that spectrum,
right.
everybody can get pleasure from everybody. So it's
true.
Like the opening of that. You know, there's that, right. what was that movie that was based on that study? Kinsey?
The Kinsey Report?
Yeah.
yeah Kinsey.
And so that's all about how there's a spectrum of sexuality for everyone. And I think
right.
the more open society would be, there'd probably be more openness with sexuality.
Right. So now, are you currently in a relationship right now? Or
we're kind of...
Just playing around.
Huh? No, we're kind of on the off. So I was in a serious relationship for some time and just wasn't really working.
Very cool girl.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't know.
But it happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's at certain times, you know, like you grow together, you grow apart, or that different periods in your life need to.
Yeah,
know, like,
it's different phases, you know, and like you said, different periods and things, you know, and people like grow and they go in different ways and
right.
stuff, you know, so you just move on. Were you really in love with her?
I mean, I loved her.
Yeah.
As far as, I mean, there is, at this point, I mean, I'm not sure how much it's fully over or not over. It's just,
right.
you know, I got to love myself more.
Right.
And then I think it goes for anybody in whatever relationship that you have to love yourself first and foremost.
Right.
And love yourself the strongest and put up your boundaries.
Right.
Of what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And then a relationship will come in that's
right.
better.
Yeah. Well, said by a true lesbian.
Okay, but now, I mean, that goes for heterosexual
absolutely.
Relationships,
I'm
too,
just
you
kidding.
Know?
Yeah, it
right.
just sounded funny. Okay, well, we're almost at the end of the show. Why don't you tell people where they can vote and get you the 250 at least votes that you need for the grant? 250 people, that's $250,000. You can help a woman that's asking for a little bit of help.
So it takes 30 seconds, literally. If you have a Facebook, it's extremely easy, but you just go on missionsmallbusiness.com, and then there's a little page that comes up, and then on the right-hand side, it says click in and log in using your Facebook. So you do that, and you log in, and then you just search Liberate Emporium. If you forget, just search Liberate, and then you'll see Liberate Emporium. There's only three things that come up for Liberate on the whole search. So
okay.
you can do Liberate Emporium or Liberate, and you'll see Liberate Emporium. Just click vote.
That's it.
That's it. 30 seconds.
Wow.
That's it. Do
Everybody go and do it. You know, I mean, it's so easy, you know, and it can change your life, you know, completely.
Yeah, and even more important, it's going to change many people's lives. And,
right.
And for those that aren't in Los Angeles that are listening, I want to create a whole bunch of online programs, move my store into an online market too. And these courses and videos will be available to everyone across the country and in the world. And this grant will help give access to all this for transformation for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing. Okay, missionsmallbusiness.com.
Mm-hmm.
Liberate
Emporium.
Liberate Emporium.
It's also on my Facebook for those of you who forget. So
right.
You can just, if you forget, tweet or write me and I'll give you the direct link.
Okay. All right. Well, Christina, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
A lot of fun, very interesting, and all the best to you. I always like to be in the room with smart people, you know, so and very sexual people, too. All right. Brigetta, thank you.
You are welcome.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.